Thanks for tuning in to the Boiler Express podcast. Join us each week as we dive into all things Purdue sports. You'll hear in-depth analysis of our previous and upcoming games, as well as interviews with players and people involved in the Purdue sports fandom. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and YouTube for our live stream shows as well. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Boiler Express podcast. Looks like my co-host here may have had a little bit of a technical issue, but he's working his way back in.
I thought we had the video. I thought I had a minute.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you got to use those little gaps. But this is live. This is live television, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that happened when I was on the Big Ten huddle with JR. Like, he played the intro video, and it just flashed, and it was over, and I was like, okay. I think the same thing just happened on my end, so I apologize. But we're here. It's been a while since we talked. Last time we talked, it was pre-Auburn, so we're 3-1 in basketball over the last four games since we talked. I feel like there's been a roller coaster of emotions, which is, you know, completely uncharacteristic for the Purdue fan base. Frank, I know you can concur on that. Like, we're usually a pretty level-headed fan base, so it's been kind of interesting. Also, football. You know, we've signed a lot of players now as the bowl games have started concluding, the floodgates have kind of opened, and we went from having, you know, a handful to no transfers to now we're at like over 25, I think, maybe nearing 30. So it's been a lot of action. If you're a diehard, which if you're listening to this, you're pretty much a diehard because you're finding every scrap of Purdue info you can. There's been a lot of info, but at the same time, it's all these players that you go, hey, we got this receiver, and it's like you look at their stats and they have three catches over 3 years, and you're like, oh, okay, so maybe they just didn't get their opportunity. We'll see what happens. But how are you feeling, Frank, over the last few weeks? How was your holidays? What'd you think?
Holidays were great. It's good to get caught up on some things needing done around the house, and yeah, to watch the sports, to follow everything going on with football, to see what's going on with basketball. And Dylan has just graced us with his presence. Good evening, Dylan. How are you?
I had to run here.
You had to run here. Well, that's good. Is that a Villanova hat?
No, it's my high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and they look like kind of the Villanova.
It's supposed to be like two V's. Yeah.
No, Valley Day. Is that what it was? What
did he say? Valley Woe. I don't know. You guys texted in the group chat, and I was like, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, so Tuesday. Dylan, I've decided today I'm going to be a hat person. So feeling it out. I don't think I've ever really worn a hat in my life. This is Smoky Mountains.
Nice. Is that Smoky the Bear?
And it is, yeah.
Hell Smoky yeah.
Yeah. So we're just talking about how we feel about the last few weeks, football, basketball. Want to throw your thoughts in there?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll start with football. Filling out the coaching staff has been exciting. I think, you know, he's got some good quality guys there. And Coach O, as Cody there called him, and is how I will like to call him from now on, did a pretty good job. He's kept it steady with good talent coming in. It's like every day you hear about a new guy coming in through the portal, which is pretty exciting. I think he's and you know, if you're gonna like compare him to Walter's first few weeks on campus, it's a lot more low key. Like there's not a lot of, I mean, in the way of like him on Twitter like dancing in his car and stuff, which was fine. That's how Walt wanted to do it. I'm not like bad. That's not me bashing Walters. I just it shows me that Odom is a businessman. Like he's strictly business.
And my memory of what happened and how things went down right after Walters was hired, it's a little bit skewed, I think, because we talked about.
Is your mic plugged in?
Me?
Yeah, you're a little.
No, better to ask me that now.
Well, you joined late. Now you're interrupting Frank mid thought. You better respect the big brain.
Listen, I'm trying to give the people the best audio they can have for our lovely voices. Especially Frank. Frank has a voice for radio and a face for television.
Yeah, yeah.
So Russ, how's things? How's the nursing home?
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say too about the Coach O thing. You were just being kind. You're being kind that you just like older people. That's what it is. So you're trying to say that, you know, you want the hype, you want the connection with the youths, and we don't have it. It's fine. He's getting the job done.
Are you saying our fan, our listener base is older?
I would say the diehards that dig in will probably make it a little bit older.
I mean, Cody's a youngin'. Cody, how old are you? Let's guess how old Cody is.
Well, wow, that's how we're doing the show today. We're listeners, put your age in the comments, please.
We're trying
to make that wrong. Jesus. Dylan's just curious.
No, listen, you just got to make it weird. I bet Cody's like 23.
Wow, and you're guessing. That makes I made it weird. Now you're guessing ages.
It's Cody. He's a day one A1. Like Cody is.
I'm gonna guess closer to 30 then.
Oh, that's
because really I feel like when you get this stage, when you're like really getting into like let's watch some podcasts on Produce Sports, I feel like you're closer to pushing 30 at least. It's like you're what 26, 27, Dylan?
I'm 28, big dog.
28. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's
saying that's this is when life kind of slows down.
Look, you made Frank so mad he left, dude.
Oh, Cody and I are the same age.
Oh, hey, what did I tell you? I said he was a little closer.
He just looked so youthful. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Now, you compliment everybody but me. I got it. That's cool. That's cool, man.
Yep. Excuse me taking a large drink.
We got Frank back.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, yes. We got you.
It's still a little echoey, but we
can. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. And I apologize for this, but I'm literally clicking on my microphone, and it's just not.
I mean, we can hear you. It's like that's not an issue. I wanted to give you a heads up.
No, I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, Russ is just such a scumbag. He didn't think to say anything before the show started.
There it is. It was like 10 seconds where he said something negative. So
in reality,
I was actually the one that literally said, "Who else is joining us?" So you're welcome.
If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't probably be here.
Yeah,
I legit ran downstairs, had to set everything up, and I get on here. Hey guys, how's it going? Yeah, I'm just glad Russ actually has a microphone.
Can you all deal with the quality of the sound?
Like I said, I can hear you. I just didn't know if you wanted to.
I click on my mic and then it flips to it for a second and then flips right back. So
are you saying it's not as sultry as the pre-recorded commercial that he has his voice on?
Yeah.
Welcome to CBB basketball,
college basketball.
Yeah. And the little swanky music we put on there. Listen. Our female demographic just shot up that first episode.
Well, so anyway, so since we're on a fun topic, let's go ahead and talk about the college football playoff. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Like, I know there's been a lot of chatter about that. I actually talked about that with some guys today at work that, they're more SEC fan base based fans. And, of course, if you're SEC, you're anti everything going on right now because you're sucking. So, they're coming up with all these negative takes about it's blowouts, it's not competitive, it's the boring college football playoff. And I told them what we've talked about before is that like 2/3 of the college football playoff games up to this season were decided by 17 or more points, like 3+ possessions. And I think almost half were 20 or more points. So, I think it's been entertaining. I think it was really cool to see games on campus, seeing the festivities of the bowl games for the quarterfinal round was cool. I feel like, the teams that got the buys got to feel a little bit robbed because all four of them laid an egg. But I think it'd be cool to see some more games on campus. But other than that, I've been excited. I mean, obviously the Big Ten's looking pretty decent. I think we're going to be getting an Ohio State, Penn State national title game, if you ask me what's going to happen. But
all Big Ten, baby.
I think it's been cool. I think we're on the way to more teams, which I think is what it should be. I think it should be closer to the FCS format where you've got 24 teams. You've got the conference champions actually getting a home game to start the playoff.
Oh, wow. I think the FCS has 24 teams.
They do 24 teams, and they do it similar to baseball too. So they do it somewhat by pod. Like they do seeding for like the byes, but then after that they select all the teams, but then they try to get you close to your region. So you might get kind of bumped up or bumped down as far as the toughness in your part of the bracket, but you'll play a game closer to home, which helps the fan base be more bought in, which helps the attendance be better. So I kind of like how they do that format. And I think that's what we're headed towards with the FBS, especially with, Alabama, South Carolina getting snubbed. If the SEC is getting snubbed by something, they're going to change it so that it helps the SEC.
I mean, really, it's just North Dakota winning it every year. So, I mean, Damon, I pulled a Dylan. Hey, it happens. I had to run downstairs, set my laptop up, all the good stuff, and now I was like, I got in. I was.
Did you almost go Irish there? Set me laptop up.
Set me laptop up. Do a little Irish jig. God, why do I do this to myself?
Frank, why? Please talk.
We need the adult.
So, can you guys still hear me? I've been playing around. So yeah, so I'm glad you brought up the playoffs, because this kind of segues into one of the things I wanted to ask you. But let's start with something that isn't Purdue related, but it is, let's say, the hate. I don't have a better term, but is the shade getting thrown in IU's direction warranted and justified?
Yes.
You think?
It's funny because I've spent a lot of this season ribbing anybody in our group chat that says something positive towards IU, but I don't think it's justified. I think, you know, if it wasn't the first game of the playoffs, I don't know how you would be as hard on them, because they were closer to Notre Dame than Georgia was. Right? They gave them more of a ball game than what Georgia did. And if you watch that game with Notre Dame and IU, it was kind of fluky the way the Notre Dame got their initial like 17-3 lead. And then it took them a while to add another touchdown late to go up 24-3. And everybody's trying to say, well, Notre Dame was up 24-3 at one point, so it wasn't really a ball. Okay, well, you can't count Notre Dame's late touchdown and not count, you know, the late scores for IU. So, you know, I think that they definitely deserved, and that's one debate I've gotten into with a lot of guys, especially if you're talking about Bama fans, SEC fans, is, you know, they go, well, do you want the 12 best teams or the 12 most deserving teams? Well, it should be deserving teams, right? Like, Alabama is a better team than Oklahoma. I'll admit that. I will say Alabama this season especially is a better team than Oklahoma. But what happened when they played? They got smacked 24-3. So you still got to win the game. I don't care if you're a better team or not. If you're saying let's just put the 12 best teams in the playoff, well, then let's play 6 regular season games and just go, well, that team looks better, so we'll put them in. It doesn't matter what their record is. Like, you've got to earn it still. You know, they lost to 2 unranked teams in Vandy and Oklahoma that if Oklahoma hadn't beat Alabama, they wouldn't even gone to a bowl game. You know, so it's, you know, I think that it's fine the way it was. I think the one thing that maybe got screwed up, or maybe also maybe go 2 things, but the one thing for sure was that the conference champions should not automatically get a bye. I don't think. I agree with the exemptions for them. Like, I agree that you've got to get a representation of conference champions in there, because what, 9 of your games, 8 or 9 of your games, so 3/4 of your schedule is against your own conference. And then the non-con games are usually Eastern Illinois and Stetson. And so it's hard to compare conferences, even though historically, obviously, the SEC and the Big Ten have kind of been better over the last few years. But so still put the ACC champion in, still put, you know, if the Mountain West is the best group of 5, still put the Big 12 champion, whatever, but put them in kind of where they're seated. You know, automatically put them in there, but if they're ranked like 14th, put them in at the 12th slot. If they're ranked 13th, put them in at the 11th spot, that so forth. Like, because I think that the games would have been a lot better, and especially better suited for Oregon, because Oregon was the best team all season, right? And what they get rewarded with? A Rose Bowl game against Ohio State. They didn't get a home game. They didn't get an easier matchup like a Boise State or an Arizona State. They got what looks like the best team in the country right now.
I like your SEC voice there. That was perfect.
Well, and the reason I brought up IU is because as I look at Purdue and what Purdue has done in the transfer portal this season, we've kind of taken the opposite approach, a similar approach to what we did last season. We've taken guys who haven't played a lot, where we saw Chris Signetti take players who have played a lot of minutes and a lot of snaps at Group of 5 schools and had a lot of success. He came in, you know, obviously went to the playoffs, had a great season. But when I think back to, you know, previous seasons, Purdue has done well with taking guys that haven't played. I mean, Charlie Jones comes to mind. Remember how irate Iowa fans were? They're like, hey, this guy's been on our roster for 3 years, and he goes to Purdue and has this amazing season, and all he did was return punts. I mean, and they were bashing Kirk Ferentz for it. So I'm not necessarily concerned, let's say, about the recruit. I mean, obviously, you know, some of these guys are really good and really talented and had a lot of offers coming out of high school. But do you think that talent and playing time are direct replacements for one another, or should we be looking to get guys who have played more snaps than some of the guys are bringing in?
Well, I mean, look at Devin Mockabee, right? He's a walk-on that, you know, Markell Jones talked about going to the spring game before his freshman season and saying, dude, that Mockabee kid's going to be awesome if he gets an opportunity. You know, so it's there's still talent down a lot of these depth charts that sometimes just don't ever see the field. So I'm not completely, you know, writing off a dude that had three catches in 3 years, because he might come in and be great. Like you said, we had great luck with Charlie Jones, great luck with Tyrone Tracy out of
Chuck Sizzle.
Yeah, Chuck Sizzle, man.
Sorry, I cannot not say his nickname.
But, I mean, he's a Bengal, too, so you're definitely bought in.
Been injured. We didn't make the playoffs. Shout out to the Jets and Broncos.
Well, because the Chiefs supposedly threw their game.
Did I send that in the group chat?
Yeah, you did.
Not believe it. No, it's just they rested all their Hall of Famers. Let's relax. Shout out George Karlaftis.
Yeah. Many, many pro boilers right now on both sides, right? NFL really and NBA. You got E.D. doing his thing.
I own Tyrone Tracy's killing it.
Yeah,
Corey Trice had a tough night the other night.
I don't talk about the Steelers. I refuse.
but anyways, yeah. So as far as like getting a guy that doesn't have much playing time or doesn't have much stats to put out there, I'm not really too worried about it. I know like the diehards are reading into every transfer we sign and what their stats are and what they could do for the team. And, you know, it really just comes down to, we're not going to know until the ball gets kicked off in September or late August, whenever our season starts. So it really just comes down to that. Like, you know, that we've talked about before, that a guy could have 4 stars and come in and dud, or a guy could come in like a walk-on and, you know, set a freshman rushing record for Purdue, or a guy can come in ranked 400 something to be a 2-time national player of the year in basketball. So it just comes down to more the coaching scheme. And I think that's what we kind of learned with Walters is, you know, it was his first shot as a head coach, and we wish him nothing but success. But, you know, you've got to get the right coaches in place and the talent that fits the scheme, not necessarily just go and get the best talent and then try to mold them to what the coaches are doing.
And if Brom would quit taking our guys, that'd be cool too.
I can't wait till that bridge is burned, man.
I know. I set that up for Frank because I know Frank had words for it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is I have to watch him play a couple times a season. Yeah. That's because I go to a couple of Louisville games and I have to go watch him play.
Frank and I are very close to the Ville.
It'd be different if it was a land far away, like it kind of is for you, Dylan. Like, you know, you don't have to see it all the time. You don't have to see them on billboards driving down the highway. Like,
but I have it worse. I have it worse.
That's true. Yeah,
I have Ohio State.
Dylan has Ohio State.
Oh, shut up, Frank.
He's like, man, all Purdue's players are going to Louisville. Well, my Ohio State Buckeyes are in the semifinals. Let's go.
I hate you so much. Sorry, I didn't mean Frank. I meant Russ. You had me such in a tizzy. I was yelling at Frank.
I was like, I don't know what I did. Yeah.
No, Russ accuses me of being an Ohio State fan, and I hate him for it. I liked Marcus Freeman, and Lord, you would have thought I said something terrible. I mean, the guy's from my neck of the woods. He's from my neck of the woods. Of course I'm going to root for the guy.
It's kind of like for me, Dylan, like you have to root for the local team to a degree. So like I have to watch a little, I have to hope they do well. So
I mean, do I root for Ohio State? Not necessarily. No, this is fake news. Okay. I like Eric and Chris and JR and they're all Ohio State friends.
Hey,
fans and just, friends.
I know the three of us real quick poll. Raise your hand if you went to a high state football game in person when they weren't playing Purdue this year.
You son of a gun. The tickets were free. What did you want me to do? Go watch bad football with Purdue? No, I decided for one weekend I'm going to go watch some good football. And it was awesome because Jeremiah Smith, dog. Howard, dog. Like, it was a good time. And I had a few brewskis. So, like, don't come at me like that.
Okay, next question in the poll. Raise your hand if you went on an Ohio State football podcast multiple times during the season, not around the time they were playing Purdue.
Listen.
Okay. I rest my case, Your Honor.
They pay me good. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't pay me a dime. No, I like Eric. We did. Oh, I even watched the game live. But it, no, listen. Here, Your Honor, let me state my case here. Listen. They were playing Indiana, so I was openly dogging IU the entire time because I knew they would have gotten boat raced by Ohio State, and they did. So I was more of a dogging Indiana than I was rooting for Ohio State. I don't like this. Why did I come on tonight?
I don't know how we got on this. This is what happens when
I'm leaving too, Frank.
Frank's like, this is ridiculous.
Russ is pissing me off today. I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, let's talk about something positive, Purdue, then. Let's switch to the round ball, the basketball. How do you feel about Purdue basketball? I feel like I've kind of doubled down on my take last time we talked, which is they were more in a mode of let's kind of figure things out and be ready for March. We don't care so much about the outcomes right now. We want to get other guys involved. We want to see how much our big three can carry us and then make sure that the other pieces are ready to go to support us come March. And I don't think we're barely going to make the tournament. I don't think we're heads and shoulders above the rest of the Big Ten, but I do think we're still a top three or four program in the Big Ten, and that's shown by the last couple of games, right? Like, we get into Big Ten play, and if you talked what after the Auburn game, people were like, yeah, this we're clearly not the same team without Edie, which is true, but it's like, man, I don't know. We might be a 10 seed or, you know, we might have to play in a play-in game or whatever, and it's like, dude, we played two Big Ten games, and the game that we lost was a road game to a solid Penn State squad, and now we get back into Big Ten play and we've trounced our first two opponents, and it looks like we've figured some things out to roll on offense, and we're playing at a Rutgers team that's what, like one game above 500, right. And then we get a Nebraska team at home that's
what?
While they played great at their place, they haven't done so great on the road, and it's still tough to win on the road in the Big Ten. So we could be looking at 5-1 our first six games in the Big Ten, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, is the sky not falling now? Like, are we back on the bandwagon?
You mean to tell me Purdue fans freak out over little things? What?
Oh, you missed the beginning of it. It's very uncharacteristic to have.
Wow, characteristic. Nailed it.
Very uncharacteristic of Purdue fans to have a roller coaster.
Lou Holtz, is that you?
Where's Ryan Day at? Where's Ryan Day? Where's Puff Day at?
He dyes his beard at Ryan Day. You talk about the University of Notre Dame. He really puts.
You would have loved the Joel Klatt show the other day. He said Ryan Day looks like the evil villain in like a Mario movie.
He does.
The way his hair is like so heavily dyed.
You can't tell me he doesn't dye his beard. You can't tell me he does it.
And mustache.
And stash. But, I mean, like, more power to him. Listen, I got a few grays coming in. I'm getting older, getting wiser. But I would never die. Why would he die at anyway? This is dumb. Back to basketball, back to the round ball.
Frank, we transitioned to basketball while you stepped out.
Yeah, no, I mean, like,
we didn't mean to run you off with the Ohio State talk.
Oh, no, that's good. I was just trying to fix my microphone, which it just doesn't want to work.
Hey, no matter microphone or not, you still sound handsome.
Yeah.
Okay, we still love you. We don't look down at you for not having the microphone working. But no, I agree. I think they need to gel together. There's going to be rough spots and. Listen, shocker, you lose the best player to ever play in a program, and there's going to be a little adjusting issues. That's going to happen. No duh. The fact anybody ever thought that losing Zach Edey wasn't going to hurt us in any way is wild. Because, of course, you lose, one, a 7'4" center, two, National Player of the Year, three, got us to a Final Four, four, handsome devil. I was trying to think of a fourth thing, and I couldn't. CB94. But no, of course there's going to be a little bit of growing pains, and it's a younger team, and of course we got vets, and with the younger guys it's good mix, but like, yeah, we lose the best player in program history, of course there's going to be some growing pains. So I'll take a collective deep breath and relax. Okay, chill out, Frank.
Steve Dillon, I feel like if you ask fans that before the season, you had said, hey, are there going to be some growing pains? I'd be like, yeah, for sure, because it makes sense. We lost Zach Edey. We lost a national player, two-time national player of the year. There are going to be growing pains. But then when they actually happen, it's like the sky's falling. It's like, wait, no, this is what we expected. This is what we knew was going to happen. Exactly. But, I mean, I've heard all sorts of things. You know, I've heard we'll be lucky to make the tournament. Heard, you know, we're a play-in team. I mean, all these types of things. I just don't think our fan base knows how to handle being a good team, but not necessarily an elite team. And it took a long time to even get to this like perennial good team position that we are. And, like, how many teams can say that? Five? Maybe seven teams that are, you know, let's say Baylor, UConn now, Duke, North Carolina's having it now. I mean, it's just, there's not many teams that over the last decade is just, yeah, they're a lock for the tournament. I mean, I'm outside of maybe five to seven. So, you know, to be in that position is a pretty good, but we just don't know how to handle being a good, but not elite team. And I think one of the things that gets lost is that in our losses, all of our losses have been to really good defensive teams. And we have a young team. Like we have a really young team, and we've just gotten spoiled with having Zach Edey. We've been gotten spoiled with, oh crap, the play breaks down, give it to the 7'4" guy, let him do his thing. He's going to score. He's going to get fouled. I mean, it just, that was always just the safety valve. And I just think we're spoiled and we're figuring out how to play. We're figuring out how to adjust to that. But speaking of adjustments, I mean, CJ Cox, Caleb first.
Well, so, okay, I want to stop you real quick before we get into that. So Speaking of spoiled, okay, I've said before some pretty strong things about Trey Kaufman Wren, right?
No.
Also, similarly about Braden Smith. I think Braden Smith is going to go down as the best point guard in Purdue history. So I still think we're a little spoiled in that aspect. But then let's talk Trey Kaufman Wren. He's our leading scorer at 17.8 points a game right now, and he hasn't even had some of his best games late, right? Braden Smith's kind of started to carry us a little bit, right? So, you know, you start to think about what are the best bigs that Painter's had, you know, since he's been at Purdue. And obviously, Edie's the top, right? After that, I feel like Juwan Johnson's got to be up there. If you consider front court, you know, Robbie Hummel's got to be up there. But then after that, you know, what's that?
You got to call out Swanigan too. I mean, he only played 2 years, but he was
awesome. Rest in peace, Biggie.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys I didn't look at. But let's talk about A.J. Hammonds, Isaac Haas, and Travion Williams. What do you think their best season was points per game for Purdue?
Who are the three guys again?
Hammonds, Haas, and Travion.
Points per game, best seasons?
Yeah.
Hammonds, his senior year, he really came on. I think maybe around the same, maybe around 17, his senior year. Well, I think senior year was his best year by far. And then who are the other ones?
Haas and Travion.
Yeah, Haas was either like 20 or 5 every game. Like, he wasn't a consistent, you know, guy. So I would say, let's say 12 or 13 for him. And then Travion, you know, was in and out of the starting lineup, you know, throughout his career, but I'll say 15.
What do you think,
Dylan? I will second what the big brain said.
I figured you wouldn't have anything new. That's fine. So you were kind of spot on with as far as your production takes. Hammond's senior year was his best year, but he was still at only 15 points a game.
Okay.
Haas's senior year, he's at 14.7. Travion was a little bit different. Like you said, he started split time, especially his senior year. He came off the bench, but his junior year, he averaged 15.5 a game. So Trey Kaufman Wren is still, you know, 2 points a game is pretty significant, you know, as far as talking about. And he's also done it much more consistently, as you pointed out, with somebody like Haas, who goes 25-25. You know, I feel like a bad game for Kaufman Wren right now is maybe 12 or 14 points, but then he'll go off and score 20-plus. So I think Kaufman Wren is – I would put him right now – it'd be hard for me to not put him in a top five of best bigs, best front court players that Painter's had so far. You know, and that's – you know, you call that contemporary – or you know, current bias towards who's on the roster.
Recency
now.
Bias.
Recency bias. There we go. Thank you, Dylan. I knew you shaking your mic like you had the answer.
You know me. I'm good at words.
So happy. So happy. But yeah, I think Kaufman Wren is, I mean, you talk about his agility, that spin move, his ability to not have to always dunk. But, you know, I feel like some of our big men have struggled at times with that little like 3 to 4 foot kind of bunny hop shot. But he's got that down. You know, that was one of the big things that made Edie elite was his little jump hook. But, you know, I think Kaufman Wren is also one of the better bigs, and we'll see him improve even more next year, right, when he has somebody like Jacobson. And even now, I think first, the role that he's starting to play is starting to allow Kaufman Wren to have, you know, get much more into his bag and be much more productive for this team.
Is your Russ, microphone underwater? Yeah. You going scuba diving up there?
Russ, all of a sudden, you sounded like you're underwater, Dave, just for a second.
You're like,
Steve.
There you go. You sound great. Well, now. There you go. Good job. Oh,
okay.
But one thing I want to call out, too, that hasn't been mentioned yet about Trey Kaufman Wren is his decision making and his ability to be utilized as a decision maker. That's one thing that's been used a lot to get Braden out of those hard hedge pressure scenarios has been the short roll. Give the ball to Trey Kaufman Wren at the free throw line and let him make a decision. He's either going to go and score or he's going to spray it out to a shooter. Travion Williams is a good passer, was probably a better passer than Trey Kaufman Wren. Trey Kaufman Wren's not far behind, and we never use Travion Williams as a decision maker. We use him as a, hey, you're going to score or you're going to pass out to a guy. And he got fancy and had the ability to pass really well, but he takes some of that burden off of Braden Smith and with that. And that's something that we did a little bit with Matt Harms, we did a little bit with Grady, but I don't think we've really seen to the degree. So he's really a unique big in that sense, but man, he's just got to keep his emotions under control. Only thing I have to say. negatively. He's just got to keep his emotions under control because he seems like a guy who gets a little hot-headed at times. But
yeah, you can tell when he gets frustrated. He doesn't have a good poker face. It's very obvious when he's getting real pissed off.
Also, I love the fact that he looks like he's from the 90s.
Yeah.
I love that. He's got the little thin mustache. Yeah. He's kind of got a flat top going to a degree. Like it's a good look.
I'm still getting used to the no dreads. Like after a while there, I was like, who is the O?
Yeah. But he's been great. And it's crazy to think that he is our leading scorer, Russ, because here come Trey Kaufman, Wren, and the Boilermakers. It's always Braden Smith, but Braden Smith doesn't even lead in scoring right now, which is kind of a mind bender. But really, I mean, he had a game this season where he didn't even score, right? It was one of the home non-con games.
Braden?
Yeah. Pretty sure he had a game where he scored 0 points.
When it comes to numbers, I do trust Frank.
I trust him too, but I feel like he may still have
a bunch. Zero points against Marshall. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Did he sit?
No. He just was looking to distribute. I mean, he had 9 assists. So he only took 4 shots. It wasn't like he was chucking them up or anything. Yeah. But yeah, he started 0-for-2 from 3, and then just thought, okay, I'll just facilitate today. But yeah, his confidence, man, is through the roof. Did you all see the clip that's going around on Twitter of him putting the freshman from Northwestern on skates and then pointing to the bench and saying, get him out of here.
Yeah. Dude, his ability
to hit
his shot. Like, so I was watching today and, you know, shout out Great Osabor because when I was watching some of the highlights of Northwestern, it immediately rolled into the condensed game against Utah State in the tournament last year. And I was like, oh yeah, we did play Great Osabor last year, who's now on Washington this year. But, Braden Smith, even compared to last year in that tournament run, and especially his freshman year, he can find his shot so much more at an elite level now than he ever was before. Like his freshman year, it was like, dude, you still got to try to look for a shot. But now it's like he can put dudes on skates. He's got an NBA level like double step back. And then as soon as you start to try to bite on the step back, he'll blow by you and hit a layup. And if you're somehow up in his grill and you get help, he's going to find the open dude. Like he is legit going to go down in my mind as the best point guard that's played for Matt Painter and maybe in Purdue history. And we haven't even got to Fletcher Loyer, right? Fletcher Loyer's on pace to have the best 3-point percentage season in Purdue history. So
it's crazy to me because I still feel like Dakota Mathias was better. I don't know why. I still feel like Sasha was better. I don't know why.
And I'll give you that. I think that, you know, Sasha, Dakota, you talk about Ryan Klein, you talk about Ryan Smith, you know, some of the great 3-point shooters we had, DJ Bird, shout out Birdman. You know, the thing about Fletch is he's doing other things better than what he's giving credit for as well, too. I think his defense has gotten much better. His ability to score close to the rim and driving to the rim is much better. So I think you're not taking just not only one of the best 3-point shooters we've ever had, he's got a lot more of a bag than I think some of those other guys that have come before him have. Like we're not always running plays for him to just spot up and come off 3 picks and hit a 3. Like he's able to get in transition and force the issue and get to the bucket and then maybe find somebody. And there's games like he shot 1-3 and missed against Northwestern. So he doesn't also always, that's not his only trick in the bag. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, but he did hit the pull-ups just inside the line. He hit the one pull-up around the free throw line, and he's added some driving ability. He's taken 73 twos this season so far. He took 161 last season total.
Oh, wow. That
was the postseason. So he's on pace to break that. So I think what you're saying, Russ, is that we're seeing a shift in his – or we're seeing some addition to his arsenal. So he's not just going to be a catch-and-shoot guy like some of those other guys were. I mean – Ryan Klein has the best step back three in Purdue history so far. And Fletcher can do that. And Fletcher had the crazy bank at Minnesota.
I mean, every time I see Grant Williams in an NBA uniform, I think about that step back.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And he's one of the better defenders in the NBA too. Go figure. But there was no defending that shot.
That's the icing on the cake too, is when it's a clip of Grant Williams and they talk about him being a great defender. And I go, I had that one play against Purdue.
Remix. First, you're scuba diving underwater. Now you're doing remixes.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like something on the spin
DJ tape. Rusty Rust cool, in though. The streets.
Yeah. Yeah, but
stop it. You're too Caucasian.
So anyway, Russ. So let's get back into it. You were talking about CJ Cox and
CJ Cox came up first. So those two get inserted in the starting lineup against Minnesota. After the fact, Painter said it was purely a matchup thing, which I get. Dawson Garcia is a tough guard. It made more sense to have Caleb first out there guarding him. He's a little bit faster, a little bit more mobile. I would say he's probably our best defender at the five position, or at least our most mobile defender. And it just worked. I mean, like things went really well at Minnesota. We missed a lot of shots in the first half. In the second half, we ended up winning by around 20. Then come the last game against Northwestern, we see that starting lineup again. It just seemed to work. I mean, we got up 11-2 and never looked back in that game. Also, we saw Brooks Barnheiser lose some teeth, which is one of the more wild things that I've seen in a basketball game in a while.
I thought Russ had lost his dentures. I didn't know he was sitting courtside. So glad to hear.
Yeah, because I had the volume really low, and I was putting away dishes.
Shut up, Russ. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I had the volume really low, and I was putting away dishes when that happened. And so I look up and I see like, okay, there's a timeout. And then I see the replay, and I'm like, did he just spit out teeth? Like, did that just happen?
Well, listen, as a hockey guy, it happens all the time. I'm used to it.
Hockey before, boy.
And you see him on the bench just smiling, and he's missing his two front teeth. I'm like, that is wild. Yeah.
But they were
he just missed it, man.
They were like fake teeth, right?
They were fake teeth because he got his real teeth knocked out just a few days prior, apparently. So, so that was crazy.
And he'll never say that about Dylan's family ever again.
Hey, so. Barnheiser, just ask Russ here what paste he uses to get his dentures to stick, and he'll help you out.
Hey, I'm impressed that you said his name correctly, because last season you didn't even know who he was. When I was
like, he was on the huddle.
Barnheiser's on the college huddle, and he's like, who?
I was like, who's this guy?
He's from the Lafayette area. He's playing in the Big Ten. Like,
all right. I think I texted JR or Kett, and I was like, hey, who's the new guy? Like, I thought he was a Northwestern podcast representative. I didn't know he played for the damn team. That was bad. That was tough.
They love their alliteration in that team, because you've gone from Boo Booey to Brooks Barnheiser. So the next guy is going to be, Brad Bowen. I don't know.
See, okay, I got to roast Northwestern for wearing black and gold uniforms at Mackey. Like, one of the lamest things I've ever seen in my life. They're not even remotely your colors. You are purple and white. What do you do? Like, okay, you want black and gold uniforms? Great. Whatever. You want to be like us. We get it. We're great.
I think the scoreboard was a pretty good roast.
It was. And you, whatever. But, like, dude, like, don't even, like, your colors are different to begin with, like purple and white in the FBS. Like, there's a few other purple teams, but like Northwestern and I guess maybe it's because I'm a Big Ten guy, but the first purple team I always think of is Northwestern.
Yeah,
you have a great
every time I see a team like that wear black. I think about Stu mentioning that with the black uniforms we played with Tiller.
Yeah.
That other schools that their main colors aren't even black, and they want to wear blackout uniforms. So
Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna read this question for you here, Frank, that you pulled up. Frank Cody has a question. He says, Braden acting like MJ when he returned from his 18 months retirement, that everyone knows what he's going to do, and TKR is stepping up to lead, be a team leadership position.
sorry. Yeah. Russ, you went into DJ mode there again for a second. I'll address the first part about Braden Smith. To me, I feel like Braden would be a nightmare to guard for the opposite reason, and that you don't know what he's going to do, at least in my opinion, because I mean, you really have a big decision to make. Are you going to double him and force the ball out of his hands where he's really good? Or are you going to play him one-on-one and dare him to score where he's really, really good? I mean, it's a pick your poison scenario. So in that regard, I don't necessarily think it's like MJ where like Michael Jordan was more like, this is what I'm going to do, and I dare you to guard it. It's honestly more like we approached it with Zach Edey. Like, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna get the ball in. We're going to let him score, and we dare you to try to stop it. As far as TKR, yeah, I think he's stepping up into a leadership position. definitely off the court. I see it. I still feel like Braden's kind of the on the court guy, but I mean, TKR, he says some things in interviews and press conferences and stuff where he just kind of speaks his mind and he feels comfortable talking about whatever he wants. And to me, that says he feels like he's in a leadership position and he knows what he's doing. So yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Our thumbnail for this episode is going to be just Braden and Michael Jordan in the same graphic.
I'm glad it's not gonna be my teeth that Brooks Barnheiser spit out.
Oh no, that's good. I'm gonna add that in the background though.
Dang it.
So
Frank, you guys, build off what you said there. That's kind of what I was saying earlier, and is it, he is unpredictable. Like he can get you to bite on a step back and then he'll blow by you, or he'll act like he's gonna blow by you and he steps back and you're like spinning around with your back to him while he's draining a three. So I think he's become a little bit more unpredictable. You can try to control what he's going to do, but you still can't really control him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you don't see him scoring in the same ways that we did last season. Last season, he had that pull-up mid-range off of drop coverage, and now, like, no one's playing drop coverage against him. They're either switching or they're blitzing him heavy. We saw some teams blitz him last season, but – it's hard to blitz a guy when you have a 7'4" check down. He's shown that. I mean, I've made this comparison before and I'll do it again, but he reminds me of Luka Doncic. That, like, okay, you're going to double team me. I'm just going to drag it out. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to find the open guy and, like, I'm going to make you pay every single time. If you switch on me, okay, you're gone. I mean, it's,
I think PJ Thompson even made that player comparison.
He did. Yeah, and it made me feel less crazy because I've been saying it his entire career. But, like, how anyone can say he's not a great point guard or even that he's not athletic is, like, you haven't seen him play. Like, he blows by guys to the rim all the time. And to say, like, oh, he's not athletic, I mean, that's silly. That's really, really silly. He's lightning quick. He's the guy that, like, if he didn't play for Purdue, I would hate him. I would hate a guy that injects – hypothetical things into his veins every time he hits a three. I would hate that.
Inject hypothetical things into his veins.
Yeah, I'd be like, act like you've been there before. Come on, stop doing that. You
know, but, act like a like pro.
When he does it, I'm like, yes, let's go. Keep doing that.
Just a little bias, you know, not too much.
And I want to get your all's take. What do you guys think of the insertion of Cox? The insertion of first.
Come on.
I'm saying insertion.
Come on.
Hey, use a different word.
Where's when you need him? Oh, my God. Program.
As that came out of my mouth. Okay. So,
I'm dead.
Remix over it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Colvin and Heidi have been removed. Cox and first have been put into the starting lineup. How do you guys feel like that has worked? Or has it worked? Has it not worked? I personally like it. I think Colvin's brought some good energy off the bench. I think he's hit some shots. Haven't seen that from Heidi. Heidi's dealt with some foul trouble lately. He hasn't really been able to find the rhythm. But I don't know. Dylan's got his hat over.
I'm all right. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
And then Russ turned off. He didn't leave. He just turned off his camera. So Dylan, what do you think about the changes to the lineup?
I
promise that wasn't intentional.
Frank? No, I think you gotta spice things up every once in a while. You gotta keep them on their toes, if you know what I mean. And I swear, we are professionals. I think Paint's just gotta, you know, insert things where they need to go, and sometimes they gotta go in different places. And he's doing a good thing of changing things up and keeping things fresh, and that's really all you need in that type of situation. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah.
Oh, that's getting clipped. I'm clipping the everlasting hell out of that.
I completely lost my train of thought there.
Your wife nearby? I thought I heard her laugh.
I don't know. These are noise canceling headphones, so if you did, I can't hear it. So
good Lord. Russ just called it a day.
Russ just had to bail.
That's an all-time BXP moment. I'm glad.
But
no, I think Paint's pretty good. I think this year too, he realizes, you know, the different weapons we have coming off the bench, and he wants to utilize those and every way chance he get. And then I think against certain opponents, you can do that, and you can change things up, and you know, maybe not against a Rutgers or somebody like that, but against Northwestern, who's good. I mean, and the record shows it. But, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm glad to see him trying different things, switching things out, because the quicker you find out those things earlier in the season, the best it'll come for you in March.
So, Dylan, do you see it as a good or a bad thing that Purdue kind of has a big three? Because people seem to be like, well, you know, yeah, you can count on Braden, Fletcher, TKR to get you 18 each, but, you know, five from everybody. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. I think it's good to keep, you know, if you have, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but if you have a bunch of guys scoring a bunch of points, you're probably going to win that game, and you're probably going to win most games that happens. But I like it. I mean, either way, when you look at a big three is good. You know, they're older, normally older guys, especially in college ball, you know, veteran classes. But when you have, especially when you got a strong bench, I think that was one of the best things we had going during the Final Four run, was a deep bench. And I still think, is it as deep as that team? Maybe not, but I think it's still pretty stellar. But I kind of like the idea of, no matter who's on the floor, there's a chance that scoring will be plentiful. I like that concept, because there's really no downtime or garbage time when you have, you know, so many good shooters on and off the bench and on the floor and vice versa.
And I think CJ Cox is a ticking time bomb too. Because every time, yeah, I can't even say his name now, but every single time he's the guy, so to speak, you know, in garbage time or whatnot, he goes off.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'm going to dribble into the lane. I'm going to take a step back three. It's going to go in. I'm going to cross you over. I'm going to get to the rim. I mean, it's crazy. Nice to have you back, Russ. Did the joke break your computer?
Apparently. And then I got back in time just for you to be back on Cox.
Yeah.
So,
he exploded, I heard.
So Russ, I'd love to get your thoughts here as you return. We're talking about good.
I don't really want to comment on that. I don't.
We're talking about whether or not it's good or bad to have a big three like Purdue has.
A big three. Okay.
A big three.
Quit making it weird, Russ. It's over.
I think it's awesome. I think it's, you know, like I was kind of hinting at that when I was talking about Braden being probably the best point guard in Purdue history, and Coffin Wren being possibly, you know, one of the top five big men to play for Painter, and then Fletcher having one of the greatest 3-point seasons in Purdue history this year. So I you know, when you talk about those being the big three, and we've got a veteran piece like First, who's coming into his role, you've got CJ Cox and Jakari Harris, and even Raleigh Burgess getting a little more comfortable in their roles as freshmen. Plus Miles starting to score a little bit better. You know, yes, Cam Heidi didn't have the most productive game against Northwestern, just four fouls.
He was in foul trouble.
You know, I'm not worried about them finding them, because we've seen them do it last year, you know, especially when it counted at times in the tournament. So, you know, seeing the freshmen find their feet a little bit, seeing First, you know, finally getting a role where I think he's going to flourish. And I feel like you're getting a little bit of kind of Belichick style coach speak when Painter's saying, oh, it was matchup style. That's why First was in the starting lineup. Well, you know, we've heard about him possibly being in the lineup, you know, a lot this season before he finally got put in the starting lineup. And I think that might be more of the norm moving forward. And, you know, Painter might still hide behind, well, that's the matchups you got to play in the Big Ten. But I mean, you got teams like Michigan who are starting 2 7-footers. You know, I don't know how you're going to not start First in a game like that. You know, maybe Burke sees some minutes in a game like that, but he seems like, you know, maybe he's being relished to a bench role. Maybe he's just not 100% yet, and that's why he hasn't quite got back on the floor now. But, you know, I think that the big three is awesome, and I think it makes it more consistent as far as the team perspective goes, that you're only then searching for, you know, the other 10% of your scoring from another group of guys that any one of them can step up and drop in 5 or 10 a game.
And it's not like they're not capable scorers either. That's exactly. I think that's the thing that people forget. But You know, Painter said time and time again, I'm only going to run plays for my three best players. And I think last season, that was obviously Zach Edey. And, I mean, then it was kind of a toss-up, really, for like two and three. I mean, and that's not measured in points per game. It's just measured in offensive ability. Like we saw later in the season, we ran a lot of stuff for Gillis, a whole lot of stuff for Gillis, a lot of set actions specifically to get him a shot. But I think that, you know, let's talk about CJ, Cam Heidi, Miles Coleman. Those guys are there to space the floor. Those guys are there.
CJ who?
CJ, number zero, point guard.
Zero what?
I think they're more comfortable looking for their shot. You know, like you said, you know, they don't get necessarily the play drawn up for them. But that Jakari Harris blow-by layup against Northwestern, they forced the timeout by them. Like, that's huge. They're feeling comfortable now to find their shot that way. I think there's a little bit less pressure on a guy like Jakari Harris, who obviously comes from a pedigree that a lot's going to be expected of him. You know, he's, I think, feeling a little bit more comfortable with the ball in his hands. He's feeling more comfortable matching up on defense, knowing what his assignment is. And that's only going to help us better, you know, come March. Like, it's great that it got us a couple big wins, but, you know, I'm already in the mindset of like, you know, what's our team going to look like in March, and how can we put out a product that is hard for any team to stop, no matter what our matchup or our draw is.
Agreed. Yeah. And, are you guys, I mean, this thing has been talked about a lot, but are you all concerned about Miles Coleman and Cam Heidi right now? It's just been all over Twitter. It's been all over Facebook, whatever form of social media you want to use. But, you know, people are concerned. The sky is falling. These guys need to get more shots. They need to get more this, more exposure. But what do you guys see? So
again, it's Purdue fans overreacting like they usually do. You know, there's so many, especially in basketball, there's a good amount of games, and guys aren't going to go bananas every single game. Like, and the fact we have two really good guys in Colvin and Heidi, caught myself, is a good problem to have. I mean, hey, having really, really multiple really good players and some coming off the bench, it's not a bad problem to have. But one thing I noticed with Heidi, dude worked out a lot this summer. Like, he was looking ripped last year, but this year, this dude is shredded. He's looking badass. I wish I looked that good. I don't.
So let's talk about it.
Well, I was going to say, too, like, as far as scoring goes, Colvin's our fourth leading scorer, right? And Heidi's right there at sixth. You know, Heidi's over 5 points a game. Colvin, just over six a game. So there might be kind of inconsistent, like you were talking about with Haas earlier, but they aren't our big three, so they shouldn't be as consistent. Like, they should kind of each have a game where they step up and drop in 5, 10, you know, or 20 like Colvin did against Mississippi. So.
Yeah, he won that game for us.
You're the only person I've ever met that called Ole Miss Mississippi.
And it didn't sound right when I said it. I don't think I'll ever do it again.
You said it, and I was like, who is he talking about?
Russ, too, had a slip of the tongue that, you know, just Yeah, so upcoming game.
Don't try to put me in the same spot you put yourself in there, Frank. It's not even close.
That was an all-time moment on this.
That's all-timer.
So, and I can't wait to watch it 100 times.
So Russ was on the Big Ten huddle earlier. It was before the season started. And he predicted that Steve Peichel would be the coach most likely to be in the hot seat. And when those results were published on Twitter, Russ and some people kind of called you out and said, you know, you're crazy. What are you thinking? He's got not even two first round picks, two top five picks, possibly number one overall pick. And now we're seeing it materialize. Like, we're seeing Rutgers fans aren't happy. They're like, hey, this guy has two top five picks on his teams, and we're 500. I mean, that's the team that Purdue is going to play. Now we play at I'm still going to call it the Rack. I refuse to call it Jersey Mike's Arena. It's just a place that hasn't been kind to Purdue recently. We had a grinder of a game there last year. Just an ugly, physical, just in-your-face type of game, which is what you expect from Rutgers. But Dylan Harper, 21 points per game. Ace Bailey, 19. After that, it drops to 7. Their third leading scorer averages 7. So those are two guys that you kind of have to look to slow down. Easier said than done. They're going to take contested shots. They're going to take step back threes with guys in their face, and they hit them. But how are you guys feeling about this game?
Ace Bailey is an elite name. That's a cool.
That's name. A guy destined for greatness, right there.
If you got a name like Ace and you play basketball, nonetheless, kind of cool. But Russ, take it away, brother.
Frank kind of led into what my thought process was behind, you know, Rutgers possibly being disappointing and Pikel maybe being on the hot seat was, yes, you know, Harper and Bailey are elite. You know, you're talking about 40 points a game between two freshmen. Who wouldn't want that on the roster? But he lost so much in the transfer portal, right? Mawat Mag, kind of blanking on some of the other names, but he lost. Cliff Amore. And so it's more about where else is the help going to come from. And that's been the narrative. Anytime I've turned on Rutgers, it's like, you know, hey, Bailey and Harper are great, but where are they going to get the help from? And, you know, they've been so great that, you know, even a, you know, shout out friend of the program, Rafael Davis was on Twitter talking about, is a freshman going to win Big Ten Player of the Year this year? But, you know, my response would be, can you give a Big Ten Player of the Year award to a team that doesn't even make the Big Ten tournament? Because that's where Rutgers hit right now, is being in the bottom four teams in the conference and not even playing in Chicago or Indy or wherever that Big Ten tournament is this year. So I don't know how you could do that. Like, it's great that you can fill up the stat sheet, but are you doing that just because there's nobody else on the team? Not only because you're a first round pick, but because there's nobody else that you trust to take shots.
I mean, the way I look at it is you can stuff the stat sheet, but do you win and do you make your team better? And I think a great example of someone stuffing the stat sheet and not making their team better is Russell Westbrook when he's with the Thunder. Like, yeah, he averaged a triple double, but he didn't make his team better. And I don't know the answer to that with these two guys. I'm sure they do. But that's what I would look for in my player of the year discussion. But one of the things I look at when I look at Rutgers on paper, they're not a great three-point shooting team. They're 208th in three-point shooting. So I expect them to, you know, hit double their season average, which just always seems to happen. But they're really, really good I totally lost what I was going at. They don't turn the ball over a lot, which is fascinating for me for a team who's playing two true freshmen for as many minutes as they are.
Yeah.
Bruce has done a better job in recent games of taking care of the basketball. But if you had to pick one area, whether it's rebounding, turnovers, defense, what's the biggest thing Purdue has to focus on to get a win in Piscataway?
I mean, I think they got to not let Rutgers get under their skin. I was commenting to you guys, you know, I watched their Rutgers most recent game where Harper didn't actually play the whole game. He's maybe a little bit banged up. I don't know how much that's going to affect him Thursday night, but Rutgers is very scrappy. I would say, you know, if you told me Draymond Green coached them, I would not be surprised because they do a lot of kind of like borderline chippy stuff that, you know, if you can't keep your head on your shoulders, especially in a road game, you know, could get to you. And honestly, like, I hope nobody gets hurt is, you know, that's kind of the goal is that, you know, stay healthy till March. Cause I think this is a team that can make a run. And, you know, that you had a guy in Klesmet with Wisconsin, their point guard, who had to leave the game against Rutgers because Williams on Rutgers stepped underneath him as he was taking a shot after the whistle had already been blown. Comes down on him, sprains his ankle, and has to go out for the game. So like, and there was another foul or two in that game for the same thing, going under a shooter as they're landing. And, you know, you do that to a Fletcher or a Braden, and, dude, I'm, you know, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, that wouldn't go well. And I think, I mean, to me, that embodies what Rutgers has been in recent years. They're tough. They're scrappy. They talk smack. I mean, they do. They're just a tough, scrappy team who, you know, physicals their way through – to wins and it's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way they win. And it's worked for them. So I think you're right. I think we gotta stay level headed. I think the good thing is these guys have been through that. They've been through that before. It's their third time, this junior group, maybe at least third time, playing there. So they know what they're going to go into. The place is always loud. That I know that the place is probably going to be sold out. They love playing Purdue. They have two upsets over Purdue there, so the fan base is going to show up. It's going to be a grinder for sure. And then we play a Nebraska team at home, who is not your typical Nebraska team. They're currently what 32nd in KenPom, which is higher ranked than Maryland.
Yeah, shout out another take I had on the Big Ten huddle before the season that I thought Nebraska was going to be one of the surprise teams in the conference this year. And that's kind of playing out. And I say that because, you know, I tend to, from year to year with the transfer portal, with, you know, NIL, with not knowing what you're getting with a freshman coming in, you know, I bet more on a coach and their ability to, you know, mold their players into what, you know, their team needs and their program needs. And I think Hoiberg is one of the better coaches. I would say maybe even top five coaches in the Big Ten. And this Nebraska team is typical of the Nebraska teams we played in the past. Now, they don't have a, you know, K-State Tominaga that could score 30 points on us, but they're going to be the kind of team that they're going to be elite at switching defensively, and they're going to be elite at making that second, third, fourth pass to get somebody open on offense because they don't care who takes the shot. And so we're going to be really tested on our defensive fundamentals because Northwestern kind of exposed that a little bit in the first half with some of those skip passes where they had a, you know, a front court player kind of seal that backside defender, and they made a skip pass all the way across to an open three where they drained it. Like, Nebraska's going to see that on tape and go, hey, that's exactly the recipe we're going to use against Purdue and Mackey. So it's going to be a, you know, there might be a star player that's going to tear us up. You know, yes, Juwan Gary's been playing well for him. You know, but I think that it's just going to be testing our fundamentals and staying level-headed in that game just in a different way than what Rutgers is going to.
And I think the thing that sticks out to me most about Nebraska when looking at them on paper is, you know, you go through their roster, fifth-year senior, junior, fourth-year senior. I mean, they're experienced, and they have guys who have played a lot of basketball, which we know matters a whole lot in college basketball. So, you know, I think typically – when I think Nebraska, I think, okay, that's a game Purdue probably wins by 10. I don't think that's the case this season. I think the biggest thing Purdue has going for them is that it is at home, but the students are gone. That is the case, right? They don't come back to them. Classes resume Monday, so we'll see. And this game's on Sunday. But what are you thinking, guys? You thinking like a 7-point win, 5-point win? What sticks out in your mind as a possibility? And this is a team that is 10th in defense in KenPom currently, which blows my mind. How many top 20 defenses Purdue has played this season is just unreal.
Do you want to do like a 5 final score?
Just margin of victory or margin of loss. We're not homers. Yeah.
I'm going to go Purdue by 8 points.
Oh, okay.
I like it.
Not boilers by a billion this time.
I mean, yeah, spoilers by a billion. Yeah. I also got to break out my boilers by a billion hat. I just retired it during football season.
Gotcha. Yeah, there weren't many games we won.
Indiana State, baby. But no, I'm going to go boilers over Rutgers, 8 points. Russ, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be similar to some of these Big Ten battles we've had already, where at halftime, now Northwestern won that case, but, you know, a team like Minnesota where it's kind of close at halftime, but I'd expect us to pull away, you know, and I still go by some of that old school math that, you know, home court advantage should be 10 points in the Big Ten. And so if we're going to beat them on a neutral site, then at home we should be beaten by 10 or more. And so I'd expect maybe to struggle at halftime, but I'm kind of right there with Cody. Like, I'm thinking, you know, we should pull away to a 10 or 12 point win in my mind.
So do you know what home court advantage is this year in college basketball?
I could not even guess because we've gotten, you know, we got
shrinking on the road,
but
it's shrinking over time.
The trend, I would feel like the trend probably shrinks a little bit, but
yeah. Currently this season it is 2.8 points per game.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was that is my math. My math that I've come to that number. If anyone wants to know how I got there, we can talk about that another time. But yeah, 2.8 points this season is home court advantage. So, and KenPom actually published a blog today about how home court advantage is shrinking and due to the better consistency in officiating between home and away and all that. It's been a lot of it, but yeah, I honestly don't know. You know, this Nebraska team is scary. They're experienced, and they're deep, I think, is the other thing that we haven't talked about yet. They have a lot of guys, you know, playing 14 minutes or more. I mean, so they're kind of taking this new school that we're seeing in the NBA approach where, you know, you play 12 guys, but you play fewer minutes, and so you're just constantly rotating in fresh bodies. So Hoiberg is a good coach. He's a fun coach. He's a good personality, and I think this is a game that could be closer than longer, you know, closer than what we saw in Minnesota, where it meant that the score was closer longer. But I think it's a game Purdue wins by 4-5. It will be my final take. I mean, they did just beat UCLA by 8. So
yeah, and they just went to overtime with Iowa, but they're down 7 with a little bit over a minute left.
Ooh.
Oh, and that's at Iowa,
and they have a win against Creighton, a convincing win against Creighton too.
Yeah, and so I'd say honestly, I would say Mackey is if at least double what the national average is. So if you're saying we're at 2.8, you know, I would say Mackey's at least a 6 or 7 point compared to the rest.
Well, Russ, I heard on local radio that playing at the Yum Center is 15 points. So
yeah, right. Yeah. That so, has like so no home atmosphere, that has no student section.
It looks like an NBA arena, doesn't it?
It is an NBA arena. Yeah. It's basically
it's bigger than most NBA arenas.
Really? Yeah,
like, they sit like 22,000 or something like that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. So when you win by 5, does that mean you actually lost by 10? Is that how that works? Like,
yeah. I mean, do they fill half of that even?
No, they're filling out games now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are now. Last year they were not. Last year
they were under 2,000.
Yeah, they got I can't remember their coach's name, but he has like the big glasses.
Pat Kelsey.
Yeah, Pat
Kelsey. He's doing really well. He's fun. He's energetic.
Yeah, I remember him being like a PJ Fleck vibe.
Yes, very much so.
Small, white, bald guy.
Never put that together until now. But yeah, he's very energetic. Yeah, he's never like angry. He's like happy all the time. He's like happy.
Ski you, Ma, row the boat, whatever other used car salesman thing I can come up with.
Well, now it's
because that was electric. Him getting dunked mayo with mayonnaise was wild.
Oh, gross!
I would puke. Yeah,
if mayonnaise. You couldn't get any whiter, well, here's some mayonnaise.
I like mayo on a BLT, but that's probably about it.
I did want to talk about the comment here. Did you guys hear about the Lady Boiler commit that had a quintuple double?
I saw that on the Twitter streets today.
I did, yeah. 41 points, 18 rebounds. Older sisters are already on
Purdue's roster.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Wow. Look at that.
18 rebounds, 12 assists, 11 steals, and 10 blocks. Like,
what is she, 25? Is she coming in next?
And is she the only player on the team? Like, I mean,
you're also missing a stat there. That's only. Oh no, you have the points. I'm sorry.
Russ.
Continue.
Jeez.
Like, if you were to take any two of those, that's impressive. If you were to take any three of those, that's incredibly impressive. All five.
But like, who'd they play? Yeah. Like some blind high school.
Do you guys remember when LaMelo Ball scored 100 in high school?
Yeah,
anyone remember that?
I remember.
Yeah, but even then, you know, you usually don't see a five category double figures. I mean, that's, you know, you see high points, and I was gonna say that didn't. It's 14 points, not 41. You flip the points. I thought it was all less than 20, which I think to me is more impressive.
I agree. Yeah, doing everything. Yeah. Well, we're getting near that hour mark. Anything else to talk about before we sign off?
No, I already roasted Northwestern wearing gold and black.
Yeah, I don't think we need to insert anything else in the conversation.
Yeah, nothing to.
Yeah, nothing else to insert, Frank.
No, nothing else. Yeah, nothing else to add from me.
We'll okay. Yeah. Sometimes guys like to add a few. You know, you never know. They like to cheat the system. I swear, I hear your wife somewhere. Someone's wife is laughing.
Yeah,
I've heard it every time. it's just in the background. Like, aha! And I know it's not me. Anyway, so boy, it was good to be back. It'd been a few weeks. We had a little Christmas, a little New Year's break. It was real nice. I think I'm going back to work tomorrow. I don't know. We got a 2-hour delay right now. Been off since the 20th, and I am bored. I am dying of boredom. I need some routine in my life. So hopefully we go back tomorrow. But boys, it's good seeing your handsome faces, good hearing your handsome voices. Frank gave us just an all-time moment on tonight's episode, one I will never forget, and that I will clip, and that I will watch no less than 400 times. So with all that being said, ladies and gentlemen, happy 2025. It's good to see you on the other side of this year from last year. That's how years work. Hey, first pod of the year, boys. Look at that, first pod of 2025. So everyone, have a great night. We appreciate you tuning in. You get it.
I'm about to turn in. You know that.
Boiler up, hammer down,
hammer on.
Hail Purdue.